this is, you know, this has become my new normal. And I literally didn't even think about acting no more. I was like, I can't do it.
Right.
And I never forget one morning I was like literally waking in my bed, like something shook my bed and woke me up.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like my skin was falling off. It was burning so bad.
Mm.
And I heard a voice as loud as the thunder that said, this is not the life that I planned for you.
Mm.
And I got out of the bed and I hit the floor and got on my knees because I was scared. I had never heard this voice before.
Mm-hmm.
And I started praying. I said, God, if this is you speaking to me, I need you to show me a sign today. Mm-hmm. Like, I need confirmation today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had forgot how to dream. I didn't even know what it was to dream anymore when it came to my own dreams.
This is the Success in Christ podcast, and I am your host, LaGenia Bearden. Let me ask you a question. Is God calling you to something greater, but fear is holding you back? Has God given you ideas and visions and dreams of doing something you love or have a deep passion for, but you're just too afraid because you feel like you can't do it? Well, my guest and I are here to inspire you, to encourage you, and to give you real life application to help you step out in faith and believe God at His word. Welcome to Success in Christ.
Everyone, welcome to another episode of Success in Christ. This is your host, Gina Bearden, and I am here with the wonderful, the fabulous Miss Tabitha Brown. Thank you, Tabitha, for being here, and welcome to our show.
And thank you for having me, honey. I'm excited.
Yes, so am I.
Yes.
Tabitha, I was telling you earlier, I saw you do the video on the field roast sausage, the applewood sage or something like that.
Yes, girl.
And
that's my favorite.
I saw that video and you had my mouth water and I showed it to my mom and my daughters. I'm like, we got to go get some of that sausage. Because I've thought about vegan. We have a vegan.
Yeah.
We had a vegan chef at my center downtown at the time, and I'm thinking, we got to get some of this for the students. We got to try this sausage. So
yes.
I tried to mimic your recipe, but ever since then, we have been following you and watching just God move in your life, and you're just an inspiration. You are a wife. You are a mother. You're an actress, I've learned recently. I watched some of your clips.
Yeah.
And you're an influencer on Facebook, Instagram, and I mean, God is just doing some awesome stuff in your life.
Yes, he is. He's so good. He's so good. Yes.
And what I love about you is that you're transparent. You don't mind letting people know who you are in God and who has gotten you to the places that you're going to, that you are now.
Absolutely.
That's one thing
Absolutely.
I love about you. I love about you. So tell us,
Thank you. Tell
us a little bit about your childhood and where this big, amazing personality you have came from.
Well, honey, it definitely came from above, okay? Mm-hmm. I always say that, but I give my daddy a little bit of that credit because my daddy is a funny man, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're very much so alike in that part. But I grew up in North Carolina, a little small town called Eden, and always loved performing. Like, that was just my thing. I love making people laugh. I would always ask for joke books as a kid.
Really?
And I would, oh my God, riddle books, joke books, honey. I would read them all the time. So I would be preparing myself for the cookout.
Mm-hmm.
So or the Sunday dinners or the family gatherings.
Wow.
So I could perform and tell jokes.
Okay,
and do all
that is so neat.
So, oh my God, that was listen, every Christmas I knew I was gonna get new riddle books, new joke books and stuff. So that's just always been a part of who I was as a child, and I always have loved old people. I just like the elderly. Watching them was like the highlight. Like, they were the most entertaining at church. It was just always funny. I always was with my grandparents, you know, my grandfather, my great grandfather, and so I think I always had, you know, all my mom and my grandparents, even friends would always say, you got an old soul. So I've been that way my whole life. I've always had an old soul.
You do.
And I love that because I mean, you know, where a lot of people my age are quick to react with something, I can take my time and say, everybody relax and calm down and let's figure this thing out, right? So that's just kind of how I was raised. It was just me and my sister and my parents, and I just was always a different child. That's what my dad always said. You was just always a different child.
Yes.
Like, and every like home video my dad would have of me when I was young. I would always say, when I grow up, I'm going to move to Hollywood and I'm going to be this big star.
Yes.
And it was one of the reasons I didn't like cleaning my room. I used to tell my mom, I don't need to do that, mama, because I'm going to have a maid. Okay? I'm going to have a maid. I don't need to learn how to cook because I'm going to have
That's
a chef.
That's funny.
And honey, I didn't know that I was going to become both of those things. Uh-huh. And I have to clean this house and I got to do the cooking. So I said, Lord, I know one day maybe it's going to come. Somebody going to want to come and clean up my house for me. Yeah. But that has not happened just yet. So, but yeah, so early on, you know, in high school, I did drama, I did theater, I always was doing church plays, mm-hmm. and I always knew that's what I wanted to do, but I also used to make clothes in mm-hmm. high school, and because of that, my mom said, listen, I know you want to be an actor, but it's a little hard to get into. She said, but why don't you, because you make clothes so good, why don't you go to school and get a degree in fashion design so you have something to fall back on.
That was good.
And so, and it was good. And it wasn't that she was saying, you know, you're not going to be able to do your acting thing, but she was just going by what she is used to, which most people in small towns are used to. We got to do what we know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I live a life of, after the fact of knowing, no, my plan A is going to work. Mm-hmm. I don't need a plan B.
That's good too. Mm-hmm.
But I did not, I was too young to know that then. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied for International Fine Arts College in Miami, and I got accepted, and I went there to study fashion design. And I was there for a couple months after high school, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I said, I'm not supposed to be here.
Mm.
So I called my dad. I never forget, it was a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I called my dad. I said, Daddy, listen, I'm down here. I'm wasting your money. You need to come get me. I said, I'm an actress. Maybe later in life I'll do something with fashion, but I'm supposed to be pursuing acting.
Yeah.
And he did not hesitate. My dad said, I'll be down there Saturday to pick you up. When I get off work Friday, I get on the road.
Yes.
He didn't try to talk me out of it. Uh-huh. He didn't. He just, I mean, because if I say it, you better believe it.
Yeah.
I'm not a person who's going to do anything for attention. If I say it, that means I mean it. And mm-hmm. you better believe me.
Yeah.
And he came to pick me up. And then I got back to North Carolina. I was like, okay, Lord, now what? Okay. Uh-huh. I know I have this burning desire inside of me. But what do I do?
Yeah.
And so I applied to Columbia College in Chicago, their mm-hmm. acting performing arts program. My mom and I, we flew out and looked at the school. I fell in love with it, got accepted.
That's a good program.
And yes, mm-hmm. great program. So I was super excited. And then about 2 weeks before it was time for me to go back in August, received a letter in the mail saying, unfortunately, due to my financial aid I had from the school in Miami, I had been denied.
Oh.
And so I had no money to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So that dream went real quick. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm still in this small town in North Carolina. I can't do no acting here. Like, what am I going to do?
Right.
And I remember my mom told me she had a friend that lived in California, and I had met her, and she had told me, if you ever want to move to California, you know, you can always come and live with me. And that had been years prior. And I was like, oh, I wonder if that offer is still on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So I called her and I asked her. I was like, oh, can I, you know, still come and rent a room from you? And she was like, yeah, you can come out here. Mm-hmm. And so I just decided in literally a matter of 2 days, I'm just going to move to California and pursue my dream.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a plan. I didn't think it through.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I didn't know this woman. My mama really didn't know her. But I was like, okay, because, you know, when people say you can come and rent a room, they don't say I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say I'm going to try to rob you. They mm-hmm. don't say I'm going to mistreat you, right?
Yeah.
They just say, yeah, you can do it.
Uh-huh.
So, and at this time, my husband and I, we were dating. And I was like, listen, I'm about to leave. I'm going to California. I'm going to go pursue my dream. And
so
also,
he's from North Carolina, too?
Yeah, my husband and I grew up together.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Known him my whole life.
Okay.
And same small town.
Okay.
And so I left to go out. And she also didn't say that she was nowhere near Los Angeles.
Oh.
So I was down in Southern California, but between San Diego and Los Angeles.
Mm.
So I was in a place called Laguna, which was beautiful, but it had nothing to do with acting.
Mm.
And so I found myself working two jobs, working for a data entry company and working at Express in the mall. And just literally check to check, trying to pay bills because I bought a car, because you got to have a car to get to work. And,
mm-hmm.
and by then, I had been there for a couple months, and my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, was like, you know what, I'm going to come out there, and then we can go and get our own place together. I didn't tell him how bad the situation was. Mm-hmm. And so when he came, he was like, wait a minute, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. This lady's taking all of your money. Mm-hmm. And she'd moved her whole, we're in a two-bedroom apartment, and she's moved her whole family in the front room, and nobody, none of them are paying bills, only mm-hmm. you. And I was 19.
Ooh.
And, right.
Wow. So he okay.
was, yeah, so he was like, you know what? We need to save our money, move back to North Carolina where it's cheaper, where we can live for a year, save, and then move to Los Angeles. And I said, well, you know what? That sounds like a good idea. That sounds good. And so we did that. We saved up a little bit, and then we moved back to North Carolina.
Well, can I ask, did you, the time that you were there in, what, Laguna?
Yes.
The mm-hmm. time that you were there, were you able to do any acting jobs, anything?
Nothing.
And how long Nothing. Were you there?
Almost a year.
Almost a year. Okay.
Almost a year. We would drive to L.A. Mm-hmm. or drive to Hollywood, but remember, I came without a plan.
Yeah.
So I had no knowledge. I knew nobody in the mm-hmm. industry.
Yeah.
So we would go, like, I went to, like, a couple open calls that were, like, scams or, you know, stuff yeah. that just wasn't real, but I was just trying to figure it out. Like, yeah. what do I do, you know? Mm-hmm. I knew I had this burning desire inside.
Yes, yeah.
And so we went back to North Carolina, and the plan was we're going to stay for a year and save this money and move to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Well, that 1 year became 5 years, a baby, marriage, jobs, mm-hmm. house, cars, mm-hmm. and a forgotten dream. Mm. I literally said, you know what? I now have this baby. I have all these new responsibilities. I can no longer pursue a dream of acting. Because mm. that's also a small town mentality.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times you're raised that if you have a child, honey, now that's your life. Mm. You ain't no more pursuing dreams. You done messed up. You done had this baby. You young, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I bought into that. Mm-hmm. And I was working at a call center for UPS. I had become a supervisor. Was making pretty good money. Mm-hmm. My husband and I, we had a house. And we were just like, then my daughter and I, we were on our way to the mall. And a local DJ on the radio, his name is Buster Brown. He came on the radio and he said, hey, it's Buster Brown. I just got a new TV show with the WB Network, and I'm holding auditions looking for a female co-host. Mm-hmm. And I started screaming in the car, and I said, that's my sign.
Wow.
I said, that's my job. Yeah. And my husband was like, what? And so I was telling him what happened. He was like, are you, you think? I was like, that's it. I know. Like, how often do auditions even happen in this town? Like, that is my confirmation. Mm-hmm. And so I went to that audition, and there was like maybe, I don't know, 60 girls. And then there were 30. And then there were 15, 10, 5, 3. And then there was me. I
what?
Booked that job.
Look at God.
Yes.
Wow.
I booked that job. And that same burning feeling that I had on the outside of my skin that morning started burning on the inside, but it felt good.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I got it now. So that's my, I learned how to produce television. I started hosting. My first interview was LL Cool J.
What?
I started interviewing.
LL?
Yes.
I don't even know if I could have did that.
Right. I was like, let me see what the ladies be talking about Cool James. But listen, that was my first interview. And I just started dreaming again. I was like, if I can do this, I can do it again.
Tabitha, so I started that is back, amazing.
Yes. Amazing. I started back doing theater. I started mm-hmm. back doing short films. Uh-huh. Anything I could do in the community, I did it.
Yes.
I would drive 3 hours to do extra work just so I could be on set in uh-huh. Wilmington. Uh-huh. So I would do extra work on One Tree Hill.
Wow.
I would just do as much as I could to learn about the business, uh-huh. whether I was getting paid pennies or nothing. And after about a year, I told my husband, I said, now it's time to move back to Los Angeles. Mm. And he said, absolutely not. Mm. I said, listen, I've heard the voice of God tell me that this was not the life you planned for me. Mm-hmm. And for the last year, I've walked in what I feel that he has chosen for me.
Yeah,
I have now, I've done everything I can in this capacity. It mm-hmm. is time for me to move to Los Angeles. I have to go there to go to the next level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, we got a house. My husband's into music, so he had a studio in the house that he had built. He's like, well, we got this life. You doing this stuff here now? I was like, I'm telling you, listen, I have to go. I said, now I can go and be by coach. I can go get a place there and I can come back and forth. And we can do it that way. He said, Oh, absolutely not. If we're going to go, we're going to go together. Mm-hmm. So but this time we have to plan. Mm-hmm. So we took about 9 months and saved up our money. And we moved to Los Angeles in 2004. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, since I've heard this voice of God, and for a year I've been doing everything from acting to hosting, producing. I know now that when I get to L.A., the carpet going to be waiting on me. Mm-hmm. People going to be, you know, opportunities are going to be there.
Yeah.
Honey, I got here, won't nobody waiting, okay? Mm-hmm. Won't nobody waiting, didn't know nobody.
Yeah.
It was like starting all over. Mm-hmm. But I still had that desire, and right. I was in the right place.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, let's just, you know, get started.
Yeah. Can I ask, Tabitha, going back to your husband, when he said no, absolutely not. You know, we're not moving. We're established here now.
Yes.
How long did it take you to finally convince him? Yes. And I'm asking because I went through a similar something when when God was telling me to leave my job to go work on my nonprofit that I have now. You know, my husband's like, no,
I ain't
telling you that. And so I had to wait. And I waited about 6 months for God to speak to him and give him the okay. You know, how long did it take you, your husband, to finally say, okay, let's do this?
It wasn't long. It was maybe within that week. Because as soon as I said, well, listen, I have to go and I'll come back and forth. Mm-hmm. He won't have in that. Us being separated and me being there. And he was like, absolutely not. No, mm-hmm. Then I know, because he knows why.
Yeah.
I've been with my husband over 20 years. He knows me.
Yeah.
If I tell you I got to do it, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
And so, but the great thing about God putting us together is that my husband is a planner, where I'm more so and always have been a free spirit.
Yeah.
So I used to just up and go.
That's me.
And I used to not think twice about nothing, honey. Oh, I want to do this. I'm gone.
Mm-hmm. But God, it's like God gives you that idea. And it's like, I got, God, you see it? Okay, that's it. That's all I need.
I got to do it. Yeah.
That's it.
But my husband is like, wait a minute. We need to do A, B, C, and D. Like, you know, we got to plan it out. We got to have this amount of money. We got to have this, and this.
And God is so good because he gives us that balance. My husband is the same way. You know, he plans everything. He balances me because you know, when God tell me to go, I go. I don't think nothing through. I'm doing it. You know, we'll work it out.
Because we
work out
the
kinks as we go along.
That's right. Right. So it's good having somebody who is so passionate and faithful. Mm-hmm. And just like, I live my life of faith. But then you got to have somebody who is also has faith, but also has that obedience of, wait a minute, we still got to have discipline in order.
And that bit of wisdom right there.
Yes, and that's that balance, that the foundation is laid on that, thank God.
Yeah, so you're in Los Angeles now.
Yeah, so we got here in 2004, Halloween of 2004. Mm-hmm. And no sooner than we were here, maybe 2-3 months, my mom got sick. Mm-hmm. And so everything stopped. Like, mm-hmm. As soon as I got here, I went and got a job. I was working at Macy's in Century City and just trying to meet people and figure it out and get an acting class and do all the things that I need to do.
Yeah.
And then my mom got sick. About 6 months later, she was diagnosed with ALS. Mm. My world completely stopped. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, you don't give it one mama.
Mm-hmm.
And so this acting thing will always be here. That's one great thing about the entertainment industry, honey. It ain't going nowhere.
That's
and it don't matter how old or young you are, there's a spot for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so for the next 3 years, I went back and forth home to take care of my mom until she passed away. Mm. And so what could and should have in a lot of people's lives broke me and stopped me. It didn't do nothing to motivate me. Mm. Because that whole 3 years of watching my mom go from this beautiful, vibrant woman to being trapped inside of her body, unable to move and fight every day to live, knowing she was going to die, it just did something to me. It just changed me. Mm-hmm. And so I took that and I just started working. Mm-hmm. As soon as, you know, after my mom passed away, I was home for 2 weeks after her death. And I came back to Los Angeles. I just dove into work and I started booking film after film. All my, the first like 5 films I did after my mom's passing all went straight to those were the Blockbuster days. All went straight to Blockbuster, DVDs. Mm-hmm. And I worked consistently for the next year or two. And I just kept working and pursuing. Uh-huh. And then one day my husband and I were like, cause we had no plans of having children, mm-hmm. any more children. We had my stepdaughter and we had my daughter, and they're 6 years apart. Mm-hmm. And before we had thought, oh, we would love to have another baby that they could grow up together. My son is one, and the literally turned one on March 18th, March 19th. I was on set shooting a movie. I had not did anything but answer the phone and said yes. Oh, wow. It was exactly as I told my husband it would be.
Yes.
And so I've always did ask God for confirmation. He always gives it for me to keep going. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I worked and did, you know, a couple films, and then things got hard and I was working a job, a regular job. And then I started getting sick. I started getting sick, and this was just a couple of years ago. I started getting sick, going back and forth to the doctor. They couldn't figure it out,
So,
and so then I was out of work.
How old is your son now?
He's six.
He's 6 years old now. Yeah. And he's a cutie. Mm-hmm.
Girl, that's my baby right there.
Yes,
that is my
he's
heart.
A cutie.
So, yeah, so...
You got
so when he was about four, I started getting sick. Mm-hmm. I started having a lot of different issues. It started with what I thought was, it started with my neck, and mm-hmm. then it started with, like, I started having headaches and, uh-huh. and dizziness, and my limbs were going numb. Mm-hmm. All the different symptoms of ALS like my mom had. Uh-huh. So I started freaking out. Mm-hmm. And my husband had to take me to the emergency room one night. They did an MRI, and they saw deterioration in my spine. Mm-hmm. This was a little more than 2 years ago. And the doctor told me, he said, this looks hereditary. And so I was, all I heard was hereditary, and all I thought was ALS. Mm-hmm. The spine, I mean, you know, it's a nervous condition. It's mm-hmm. a neuromuscular. And so we know that ALS is terminal. There is no cure. There's no cause and there's no cure. Mm-hmm. And the earliest appointment for neurologist that I could get was 8 days. So I spent the next 8 days planning my funeral, falling into depression, burying myself, just already buying into whatever the devil told me. Mm-hmm. And just literally just could not snap out of it. Mm-hmm. And then one day I literally was in the bathroom and I fell to my knees and I looked in the mirror. I was like, you call yourself a woman of faith, but look at you. Mm. You've already given up on God based on what man has told you.
Yeah.
And I had to have a reality check with myself.
Yes.
You know, and so during that time, we went back to the doctor, and the doctor was like, oh, looked at the other side of the MRI. He's like, oh, I hate that the doctor told you that. The other side of the MRI shows you have two discs lodging in your spine that has caused a chipping away of your spine, but there's no disease lying there. Mm-hmm. And so after going through all these different tests, but I was still sick. So other things started happening. But over a year, I was on disability. I was sick. Most days I could barely get up. Mm. They still just couldn't figure out what else it was. And I used to do stand-up because I wanted a TV show. Mm-hmm. And in Hollywood, the quickest way to get a show is you do stand-up. Mm. And because I wasn't out doing stand-up anymore, I was really depressed. I was like, I'm not doing anything to try to get this career back. And my daughter came home and she was like, after I had started feeling a little bit better, but I was still not well, she was like, you got to see this documentary. And it was called What the Hell. And mm-hmm. so we were like, okay, so.
I saw What the Hell.
Yeah.
Change so my life.
It, honey, change your whole entire life.
Mine, my daughter's, and my mother's.
Yes.
Yeah.
We watched it together as a family. And that was last year, last summer. And so we decided we were going to do a 30-day challenge. Like, let's go be vegan for 30 days. Yeah. And the thing that got me was because they said diseases are not hereditary, is that we eat the same thing, causing the same disease.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for me and my family, meat was the common denominator. Mm-hmm. And when your mom dies at 51 and your dad is 67 and he's the oldest living in the family, honey, it's a wake-up call.
Yeah, yeah.
So many of my family members died and have heart attacks and strokes before the age of 50. Mm. And I said, well, let's try it. Let's just see. So we did it 30 days. On day 29, my husband said, this has been great, but tomorrow I'm going to need a piece of chicken. And I was like, I think this is my path. This is my path. I think this is what I need to do.
So you enjoyed, you really enjoyed it. Did you enjoy the food?
I enjoyed the food, but all of a sudden I started feeling different. I started feeling better. And I had been, you know, when you have been sick for so long, being feeling sick had become feeling normal. Uh-huh. So when I started feeling better, I almost didn't recognize the fact that I was feeling different. I was like, it caught me off guard. I was like, oh, wait, I ain't feeling sick no more.
Yeah.
I'm not laying in the bed yet. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got energy. I'm not dreading getting up.
Yes.
Something else is happening here, mm-hmm. right? And so prior to that, I had had a dream and saw myself with a little short, little hair, and I was on a show. And I woke up and I was like, Lord, how was I on the show if I'm not out doing stand-up? I mean, at this point, I was barely even auditioning. I wasn't able to go out. And I heard a voice that said, start doing videos. And I was offended because I'm an actress. I was like, doing videos?
I don't do videos.
Videos? About what? Right?
Yeah.
Like I'm better than some. Okay. And he said,
that is too funny.
Start doing videos. So I was journaling and praying and writing and just having my conversation with God. And it was like, I was like, listen, when you were doing stand-up, you would reach 15, 30 people a night. Mm-hmm. But you start doing videos, you'll reach thousands in minutes. And I was like, well, Lord, I don't know if you check my social media, but I ain't got thousands to reach in minutes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. But because I live a life of obedience, I said, all right, let me start doing these videos. So my first couple videos I was doing, I was a sit-down comedian. That's what I called myself. I was like, I'm going to be at home on my bed, and I'm going to just tell the same stories that I would tell when I was on stage, you know, about being a mom, wife, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then a couple weeks after, I shaved off all my hair because I was like, this hair holds energy. It's heavy. It's heavy on my neck, and I just need a new start. So I shaved off all my hair.
Shaved.
And so shaved it off, girl. It was gone. And my hair was always long. Mm-hmm. Long and straight, because that's what Hollywood told me they wanted, right?
Yeah, I saw the video clips, and I was like, okay, her hair is pretty. Is that her, all of her hair?
All my hair, yes. All,
okay.
And it was always natural, but I would press it so much that it wouldn't do anything anymore but stay straight.
Uh-huh.
And so after I shaved off my hair and then decided I'm going to, you know, stay on this vegan journey after the 30-day challenge, I heard that same voice say, now tell people what you're eating. And I said, okay, Lord, now I got to draw the line somewhere. And you want me to tell people what I'm eating after I done shaved off all my hair? Honey, them people, you know, I'm from North Carolina, they're going to be like, Lord, that child done shaved off all her hair and she ain't eating meat. She done officially lost her mind out there in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so clear, tell people what you're eating.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, here we go. So I started doing videos last August telling people that I'm on a vegan journey, y'all. And when I find food, I'm going to just tell y'all what I find.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing the videos, and I had been on disability for a year. I had just come off disability. Now I'm on unemployment. Just no money is coming in. My savings is gone.
Mm.
And I'm doing these videos, but I ain't making no money. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, Lord, why do you have me doing these videos? Like, I'm cooking. I'm doing reviews. Like, what? And ain't nobody watching. It's like maybe 30 people, 100 people. I was like, Lord, thank you for my family. my family support watching me. I love y'all. Thank you. But what am I doing? But I said, you know what? I ain't even going to question it. I'm just going to keep doing it and whatever. So around like November, I told my husband, I was like, money is gone and he's not my provider. He is my partner.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I got to go get a job. I was like, I'm about to go drive Uber. And he said, you going to do what? I said, I'm going to go drive Uber. And he was like, first off, safety for him, because my husband's a police officer. So, you know, everything, he's overly paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'll be all right. And he said, well, what if somebody recognized you? And I said, good, maybe they'll give me a job. Very good. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll give me a job. And so I went and I was driving Uber. And on December the 30th, honey, I dropped somebody off by Whole Foods. And I was like, oh, Whole Foods be having good old vegan options.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go in here and give me a little breakfast because it was morning. It was like 9 in the morning. I went in there, ordered the TLTA is what it was called at that time. I was like, ooh, that sounds good. A little tempeh bacon. Okay, add me a pickle on there. A little red onion. Yeah. Girl, the sandwich was so good. Ate it in my car. I was like, Lord Jesus.
I saw the video.
Right? I said, ooh. So I said, I got to tell the people about the sandwich. So I put the video on in my car, did the video, posted it, and honey, I went back to driving Uber. That's why I was sitting in my car because I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on back to driving Uber. I didn't think nothing about that video. Child, by the time I got home, the video I think had maybe 25 plus thousand views. I was like, who is watching this video?
Mm-hmm.
Hours later, it had 50,000. Next morning, it was 100 plus. I was like, what is happening? I told him, yeah. I said, I think I'm going viral. He was like, well, what does that mean? I said, I don't know. He said, well, you're going to make some money. I said, I don't know. I don't even know what, listen, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I remember I'm an actress. I don't do videos. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And within maybe a week, Whole Foods had reached out and, they wanted to, you know, let's talk about doing brand ambassador. And I was like, oh, okay.
Tabitha, you made that sandwich look amazing.
Honey, and look, changed the name of the sandwich. The sandwich was so good. I was like, the TTLA. I said the name wrong. So Whole Foods changed the name to TTLA and rolled it out nationwide. The sandwich was only available here in Los Angeles in the southern region. And they rolled it out nationwide all the way to London and Canada. It was the first product that they ever had to roll out so quickly and roll it out nationwide because it was such a high demand. Even now, it still sells out in stores.
Wow.
The Tempe Bacon, the company Light Life, still can't keep up with the demand. Mm. And so my face was put all in the stores. My name, as seen on Tabitha Brown's face. It literally, a sandwich changed my life.
Look at God.
And from there, and look, I have not driven Uber since a week after that video was released.
That is just...
And I have been on the run ever since and pursuing and developing a show and touring and doing hosting events and just amazed all because I chose to be obedient.
Yes, that's what it's about.
And obedient not only to God, but to myself by saying, you know what, I want to save my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I can control what I put in my body.
Mm-hmm.
I have enough control to say, nah, I don't need to eat that.
Yeah.
I want to live. So for me, it was life or death.
Yeah.
And then by choosing to stay on this journey, God said, well, listen, I'm going to honor that as well.
Yeah.
And being obedient to what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that. And so I went from being on disability for a year, unemployment, to not working to, honey, being booked all the way into next October.
What you say?
Listen, to having no, listen, I had zero money last year. This time last year, I was completely broke.
Mm-hmm.
Completely broke because I had $380, but my car payment was $365. Mm. So I was like, I ain't got no money. I got to pay these bills.
Yeah.
So every little bit of money I got all went to bills.
Yeah.
It was all, I was just trying to rob Peter to pay Paul, catching up.
Yeah.
Just constant, like could not get my head above water.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from that within 10 months. Hasn't been a year yet.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a year December 30th. It has not been a year yet.
Mm-hmm.
I went from that to being debt free, paying off my car.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I owe, at the beginning of the year, I owe $12,000 on my car. I don't have no car payment. Mm-hmm. I paid my car off. I literally paid off my credit.
Yes.
We just bought a house. I had no money. I had nothing. I had no money. The credit was getting shot because stuff was... Mm. You can't tell me.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you can't tell me that God ain't real and that he does not honor the struggle.
Yes.
He does not honor the obedience. He does.
Yes.
If we just stay consistent.
Yeah.
If we just keep moving forward.
Yes.
If we just trust the process.
Yes.
If we trust the gift, the little voice that we hear inside, that's him. That's our gift.
Yes, yes.
That gut.
Yeah.
That's, he gave us that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gift inside that he gave us to keep moving forward.
Right.
And if we don't get distracted by what's happening when things are bad, when things seem rough, we just remember this is just a temporary moment.
Yeah.
Because that's why I had to get back to that way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Tab, this is temporary. You know you're going to come out of this.
Yeah.
Because the devil, you know, he's so slick, honey. He'll get you and have you thinking, I can't see no way out of this. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. You just have to want to see a way out. But if we dwell on the negative, if you wake up with the, oh, this ain't never going to change, then it ain't.
Yeah.
Whether we say it is or ain't, honey, both ways we rock.
Yes.
So we have to be so careful with what we say and what we put out, because that's what we perceive back.
Yeah.
And the moment that I got that, the moment that I said, I want to submit my all to him.
Mm-hmm.
I want to let him take the wheel, because I tried to do it myself for years and was just, honey, I mean, as much as I did as an actor, it still was like, oh, I never hit the big break. I never got the, you know, every time I thought I was close, it still never really panned out.
Yeah.
And I was trying to do everything myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the moment that I said, I'm gonna let God take control.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna only do what He tells me to do. Mm-hmm. And when it don't feel right, I ain't gonna do it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The moment I said that, listen, I used to cover my accent. I used to wear my hair straight. I used to do all the things that quote unquote were right,
right.
for Hollywood. Mm-hmm. My agent used to tell me nobody wants to hear the accent. Mm. Nobody, you know, you need your hair long. This is the look. I said, all right. The moment I stopped covering my accent, grew out my natural hair. Mm-hmm. Honey, I have worked more this year than I worked in 14 years of living in Los
Angeles. Look at God, yes.
And make more money. Mm-hmm. So if we just are obedient to our true self, yes. if we just be our true self that God made us to be, honey, we can have anything we want in life. Mm-hmm. Any and everything.
And that
so,
is-
yeah.
Yes, that is so inspiring. I mean, that is just what this podcast is all about, just believing God that the gifts and the talents that He's already put on the inside of us, the scripture often say that He has given us the ability to obtain wealth. That ability is already inside of us. It's those gifts, it's those talents. But my problem was trying to do it, like you said, my own way, and it wasn't, nothing was coming to fruition. But when I started doing things God's way, started being obedient, that's when I started seeing things happen. That's when I started seeing the turnaround. I mean, and we can see it in your life. So tell me, what is your health like now? You're eating, honey, you're eating clean.
I eat clean, but you know, I still eat, you know, some vegan junk food, as they say. Uh-huh. But the majority, I eat very clean. I mean, I eat. Everything is vegan. There's absolutely nothing. I never, you know, some people are like, well, do you eat a little bit of anything? No, I'm 100% plant-based. I don't eat anything.
That's cool.
And I also have an allergy anyways to milk, cow's milk, to where my throat closes. So if anybody ever tries to, like Starbucks, for example, I have to be so specific. I'd be like, listen, y'all, I have an allergy. Yeah. I need almond milk and I need you to use a different cup. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
The slightest bit, it can be this much. As soon as I drink it, I instantly know. My lips starts to sweat, throat starts to itch. So I'm already very, very particular.
Yeah.
Because I could die. I have to have EpiPens because of my allergy. Mm. And so I am very, very strict with what I eat.
Yeah.
And I have never felt better in my life. I'm so, so, so thankful. I don't have any of the feminine problems I was having, because I was having so many problems as a woman. Mm-hmm. They thought I was in early menopause. They were trying, they could not figure out why I was having all these things. But honey, within maybe not even, I would say 3 months, but probably 2.5 months, all those issues were, they just disappeared.
Gone? Wow.
No more pain, no more cramps, no more irregular bleeding. Everything.
Wow.
Gone. My cycle is regular. Mm-hmm. There's no pain. Like, literally.
That is amazing.
Disappeared.
That's amazing.
Disappeared. Mm. Yeah.
So you're in the best of health you've ever been.
I mean, I feel great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still have like issues with my spine that are not food related, but I don't have the chronic pain like I used to have. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I mean, I used to go, I always call them episodes. I used to have an episode maybe twice a week, sometimes 4 days a week. Mm. I now maybe have an episode or a flare up, like with my neck, because I have arthritis in my neck and stenosis. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know, once every couple months. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's if I probably do too much and trying to lift something or do, you know, cutting up.
Yeah.
But other than that.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Okay. Well, good. Praise God. Yes. That is amazing.
Yes.
So you are now a Whole Foods ambassador.
I am.
How is that? What is that like? I mean, let me tell you,
you do
a great job. I love every time you put out one of your newest commercials. You know, the one that you just did with Field Rose was amazing.
Yes,
what's it like being a Whole Foods ambassador and Field Rose now?
It's amazing. I mean, you know, I feel like I've been on thousands of commercial auditions and, you know, I probably booked maybe 5 out of 1,000. Mm-hmm. And this is like, I get to do it my way.
Yeah.
And I don't have to audition for the part. I get to be myself.
Mm-hmm.
I get to talk about what I love. Mm-hmm. And Whole Foods is like family now. Mm-hmm. The people that I work with are absolutely amazing. Yeah. They are literally like family. Mm-hmm. So it's great. It's a beautiful experience. I'm so thankful to be on the journey.
Yeah.
Same as Phil Rose.
Yeah.
It's like family.
And the thing is, it's... it's you that drew everybody in. It was the accent. It was your realness. I mean, that's what got me. It was just the realness. I mean, you felt like a sister, you know? You felt like my sister. Right. I'm watching you eat this veal roast sausage. I'm like, girl, we don't have to go get some veal roast.
Honey, that's how I feel. I feel like I'm with my family when I go live or if I do a video.
Yeah.
I'm doing it with the thought of I'm talking to my family. Mm-hmm. That's how
good.
I feel.
That's good.
I feel like even when I'm in the room and I be like, come on in the room, y'all, honey, I'm talking to my cousins, my sisters, my brothers, like, y'all come on in here.
And that's what it feels like.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. And you make us feel that way too. And I think that's just who you really truly are. That's what draws people, you know, and that's what, if a lot more companies out there would just be real and genuine and get genuine, true people to advertise for them or to sell their products, you're going to get a lot more, consumers buying your products. And
absolutely.
So, you know, we just thank you for that. Yeah, you do.
Cause I also tell folks when I don't like it.
Yes, you do.
I'd be like, wait a minute now. We need this. Somebody called in on this day. Okay.
Yeah.
We gotta talk it over with the people.
And that's appreciated. Mm-hmm. It really, really is. Cause I'm not fixing to go buy something that doesn't taste good. And you just trying to sell me a product
money.
That you know you ain't eating yourself.
No. Yes. And that's the other thing too. I have to, a lot of people who don't know the business of being an influencer and the regulations that come along with it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot lie. Mm-hmm. Like you can get fined.
Yeah.
Like you can like not be able to do this anymore.
You can
be suspended from social media.
Wow.
You cannot lie and say that you like something. So a company cannot pay me to say I like something.
Mm.
I have to genuinely like it.
Okay.
So whether they was paying me or not, honey, I'm gonna tell the truth because that's just who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But legally, I can't just be out here talking about, ooh, I like it, and then somebody see me out of the street, I'm like, I don't like that stuff. I just did that because
So what happens when you do not like a product?
And you haven't seen?
I've seen. No, I'm saying with the company.
Yeah.
I've
had companies reach out. Like, what can we do? What can we do to make it better? Or can we send you some of our new products and you tell us what you think about those?
That's good.
Then some people just be a little upset, but unfortunately, I always try to do it with love.
Yes.
I always try to do it with love and a little bit of humor and never be super, like, disrespectful to the companies because this is still somebody's business.
Yeah.
It's still
good.
What a lot of people are employed by these companies. So I never do it with the intent to hurt, but I do it with the intent to better them.
Mm-hmm.
Because listen, if you're selling a product that I always tell people I'm blessed with a good palate.
Mm-hmm.
I know when something tastes good and when it ain't.
Mm-hmm.
And if I say it, I'm not saying that my opinion is the only opinion that matters. Well, I'm just saying that I have a record that shows that my opinion is true.
Yeah.
And most people tend to agree with me.
Right.
So.
Like that, the macaroni and cheese you did the other night. You said they need to do a little something. Something with the macaroni and cheese somebody sent you.
Oh, sweeter.
Yeah. You said they need to fix something.
They need to fix a little something. It's one of the things that it could be good. You could doctor it up.
Doctor it up. That's what you said.
But I didn't buy it to doctor it.
Yeah.
That ain't what I did. I bought it to just warm it up and eat it, right? Yeah. Like most people, when we buy something, they send me those. But if I buy it, I ain't buying it to try to. Now, if I wanted to doctor it up, I'd have bought the raw noodles, bought my own cheese, and made it myself.
Right.
We need it to be right when it come out this box.
Right. And that's appreciated. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Appreciate
absolutely.
That. Well, good. And I appreciate you. I mean, I'm just loving
you even more.
I really am. And one thing you said I wanted to talk about quickly, too, you talk about being consistent.
Yes.
And I want to talk about that because that's been my issue. You know, at the beginning, before you and I had actually gone live, I was talking to you about me when I started this podcast. Wasn't nobody listening.
Right.
I put like 8 out there and I go check the stats. It would say 0. I'm like, what? Yes. God, what you got me doing this for? Nobody is listening, you know.
Right.
And so then the moment I was obedient and continued on, then boom, you know, I started getting listeners from all over the world. So not just in that, but in other areas of my business, you know, just trying to stay consistent. What's your advice that you would give to someone? Give to me. Just about staying consistent.
I always tell people, A, live in your truth. Because when you're living in your truth, then it's not hard to be consistent.
Okay.
And like, what does that mean? That means if you truly feel that this is what God has called you to do.
Yes.
If you truly feel that there's a purpose on your life to do this. If you truly feel like, I think about this thing all the time, I need to do something with it. Then that is part of what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, how can you not be consistent in that?
Yeah.
So consistency comes from A, being truthful. B, when days get hard, you do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got to remember what the end all goal is, to get it done.
Yeah.
So, and we have to also remember that success is not a destination. It's the journey. Mm-hmm. So every day that we put forth effort.
Yeah.
Every day that we continue to go.
Yeah.
That means we are doing what he said to do.
Yeah.
And eventually it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because you stepped out on it. Because you said, I'm going to try this. I'm going to do this. But if I had stopped, if I had said, you know what, ain't nobody watching. I got 30 people on this in the live. And I don't know what God's talking about. Thousands of people going to be watching my videos in minutes. If I had stopped, I would have never saw that come to pass. Now when I go live, I post a live video, honey, and within minutes, it already has 20,000 views.
I'm one of
30,000 views. Right? When I'm live, it's sometimes 1,000 people, up to 5,000 people in the room at one time.
And you know why? So, because it's exciting. Because I know I'm fixing to laugh.
Right.
I know I'm fixing to feel like I'm in your kitchen with you, you know?
Right.
And
you're
so it's exciting
up.
For us.
Cry.
Yes. You had us cry the other night now. You had us crying.
Right,
you went on in. You went on in there. You went to another realm there in the spirit. Yes.
Right. And that's, we got to let them lead sometimes.
That's it. Yes,
but
yes.
That's the consistency is you have to do it.
Just do it.
You can't say, okay, I'm going to do it today. Then I ain't going to do it this week. I'm tired. That's not being consistent.
Yeah.
Consistency is being constant about something.
Yeah.
You have to constantly give it effort.
Right.
And that's it. But if you do that, I promise you, you'll see the change happen.
Yes, yes.
The
yes.
shift will begin, honey, and you will look back and be like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because I literally, when I tell people, it hasn't even been a year.
Mm.
It hasn't even been a year. Lord, my battery about to die. And they are literally blown away.
Mm.
They're like, wait, what? I'm like, the video will start going viral on December 30th.
Wow.
We have not reached December 30th yet.
And God has just done so much.
So
it don't take him long. It don't take him long at all.
It don't take him long. He be waiting on us.
That's it. He be sitting back. I done told you what I'm going to do. Now, when you going to believe it, then I'm going to do what
us.
I said. That's it.
Yeah.
We can hit our own blessings.
Hello.
No,
that's it. Yeah.
So tell me a couple more things really quickly.
Okay.
What advice would you give to an actor out there who's somebody who's seeking to get into the entertainment industry? You know, I told you I work with actors and you remind me so much of one of my employees. She's amazing. And
yay!
I'm giving you a shout out, Patrice, on Success in Christ. She's amazing.
Hey, Patrice.
She has just started to pursue her dream. Now that she's a bit older, she taught theater in school for a while some high schoolers, and now she's stepping out in there and she's living her dream of acting on stage. She's gotten a lot of great roles out here. So what advice would you have for her, someone like her right now?
I would say follow your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Follow that gut instinct.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to stay who you are.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in what anybody else is doing. Know your path. Know what you want.
Because
that's the most important thing, is knowing what you want.
Because
a lot of us, we start, and I've been there, we start a path on this career, right? And we don't know what we want, so we'll take any role. We'll do anything just to get a check or just to get closer because we don't know what we want. We have to know what we want. We have to know what kind of like actor that we are. We have to take time and know who we truly are before you start saying, oh, yeah, I can do that. Oh, I can do that. Let's know who we are.
Okay.
And then, again, be consistent. Whether it's, I mean, if she's taught, so I'm sure she knows. You stay in your acting classes. When we get rusty, we always need to sharpen that craft and do constant work whenever you can. Whether it's free work or not, theater or, you know, films. I always tell people, especially if you're in like a smaller town and you don't have access to a whole lot, mm-hmm. but if you got access to a college, mm-hmm. there's always a film department.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're always looking for actors. So, honey, go do all the short films, mm-hmm. all the student films, build your reel.
Yeah.
Have it together so that you can start submitting it to these auditions and places in like Atlanta or LA or North Carolina and Wilmington. There's always options. And then use this good old tool called a phone. Mm-hmm. Honey, now...
Your phone can do so many things.
Your phone can do so much, honey. Yeah. If I had this phone 15 years ago, I'd have had a whole show on monologues on my Instagram. Every day I'd be doing awesome. A new monologue, yeah. new show. Like, you can create your own.
Yeah.
You can create your own. So don't be afraid to create. Mm-hmm. And don't think it has to be the normal, traditional way.
Yeah.
Find your way. Do it your way. Be consistent. But do not change who you are. That's you are good enough the way you are.
That's good.
Yeah.
So what's next for Tabitha Brown? What's next for you?
So what is next for me? Well, I have a Christmas movie coming out this Sunday.
What?
On Bell TV. I have a fun cameo up in there. You'll see me a couple times cutting up throughout.
And what's the name of it?
Stone Cold Christmas.
Stone Cold Christmas.
Yes, with mm-hmm. Demetria McKinney from Tyler Perry's House of Pain and Andre Fuller. Mm-hmm. But it'll be on Bounce TV this Sunday. Eastern time is 9:00. So Central time, I think, is 8:00.
Okay.
And then I have another film called Souls that we're waiting to hear our results for Sundance if we're going to go in 2019. I know.
Fingers I want to go to crossed. Sundance so bad this year. I believe in God that I'm going to get there. Yes. I want to go. Yes.
Sundance is amazing. If you've mm-hmm. never been, it's amazing. Yes. If you ever have the opportunity, I always say go.
Yes.
So then I have another film feature film that I did that should come out next year called Princess of the Road with Martin Sheen and Eddie Gathegi. And then developing Taste with Tab and still on tour for next year, traveling, mm-hmm. hosting events. But definitely developing my own shows and super excited about it, honey. So am I.
I'm just excited about what God is going to be doing in your life, you know, just to see where he's taking you. Tell me, where can we find you on social media? And tell us about before we even get to that, tell us about your fashion line. What do you have going on with your t-shirts and things?
I used to design these capes. I don't do it as much anymore because I don't have time. So mm-hmm. I started doing a line called Capable, where mm-hmm. they're capes that go around your waist.
Yeah,
because everyone should feel like a superhero that they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can just dress up an outfit at any time by throwing one of these waist capes on.
Yes.
And so on my same site, it's called Capable on Etsy, mm-hmm. I started doing t-shirts. Started doing t-shirt lines with my quotes on them. From when I do my cooking shows, people are like, girl, you need to put that on the shirt. And I didn't believe that nobody was going to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first set that I put online, I think I probably did like 100 the first time because I was like, I don't know if anybody can really buy these shirts. And I sold out in 26 minutes. And
I had no idea.
I was like,
what?
I thought something was wrong with my system because I went to the store and I came back and I went to check it and none of the shirts were there. I was like, where my shirt? Lord, I must have did something wrong. It never dawned on me that I had sold out.
Mm-mm.
But in 26 minutes, I sold out. So that started a t-shirt line.
Yes.
So on Etsy, you shop Capable, CAPEABLE.
ABLE. Okay, good. I'm glad you said that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything's cape inspired because capes are superheroes. And
yes.
We can
do anything
in the supernatural.
That's good.
But yeah.
Good. All right. So where can we find you on social media? Give us all of your social media handles and all that good stuff. So if you all have not yet watched Tabitha's videos, if you haven't watched them live, I'm going to encourage you to get notified whenever she goes live because they are funny.
Yeah.
If you want to laugh, if you just want to have a good time for about an hour or so, get those notifications. But also, go back and watch some of the other videos. Go all the way back and watch some of the other videos from when she first started. And you can just see how God, you can see the transition, God's manifestation in your life. And that's so great
to watch.
But yeah, give us all your social media handles.
So on Facebook, where I do all my cooking shows, is Actress Tabitha Brown.
Okay.
And then on Instagram and Twitter is I Am Tabitha Brown.
I am Tabitha Brown.
And YouTube is Tabitha Brown.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, great. Well, Tabitha, yeah. thank you so much for talking with me today. You are just a joy. This was fun. I don't think I've stopped smiling at all.
You are just together, girl.
You just real and sincere, and we just love you. We love you so much, and just keep letting God use you. Just keep being real, because I mean that's what drew my family to you, and so many others. We love you, and I'm going to continue to pray for you.
Too.
God's blessings over your life, over your family, and congratulations on your new home.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll be in the room soon in the new kitchen.
Yeah,
I got to find these appliances, Lord. I was like, Lord, let me get a good Black Friday deal. That's what I'm going to be doing this week, looking for the best Black Friday deal. So
I know that's right.
But yes, thank you so much. I love you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Oh, no. Thank you for being here. Isn't Tabitha a joy? That was such a fun interview to do. I am just so happy that I had an opportunity to talk with her, to hear her testimony, and that, you know, that she shared it with us. So thank you again, Tabitha. Many, many blessings to you and your endeavors. And we just want to speak blessings on you and your family, speak peace and joy and happiness, and bind the enemy and every satanic attack right now that he has out against you and your family in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And we just ask for an abundance and an overflow of blessings for the Brown family. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview as much as I did. She is just so fun and so real. So make sure you check her out on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram. I am Tabitha Brown. I mean, she's fun. Her videos that she does live most weeknights are just so fun to watch. So make sure you check those out on Facebook. As always, thank you all so much for listening to Success in Christ podcast. It is so encouraging to see the downloads that are taking place every day. To all of you all over the world, I mean, Canada, Ireland, it is amazing. Shout out to everybody up there in Canada that is downloading these episodes, that is enjoying the episodes. To you in Nigeria, I see those downloads. Thank you all so much. I just enjoy hearing from you, and I enjoy seeing those downloads. And I just pray that these episodes are inspiring you and encouraging you, and that you yourself are stepping out in faith and knowing that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. It is all about building your faith, knowing that God is who he says he is, and encouraging you to step out in faith and fulfill your dream, fulfill your destiny. As always, you can email me at info@successinchrist.net. I absolutely love hearing from you, and I love praying with you. So make sure you send me those prayer requests, or if you just want to let me know how much you're enjoying the show, I want to hear that too. Thank you again for joining me for another episode of Success in Christ. And until next time, remember that there is success in Christ.